WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
In 1925, the poet T.S. Eliot asked his sometime friend, Virginia Woolf, to write an essay for a new magazine he was starting. She responded by writing On Being Ill. Unlike other Woolf essays, like A Room of One's Own, On Being Ill has not been republished in an individual book since 1930. The Paris Press, a nonprofit press that publishes neglected work by women writers, has just brought out an edition of On Being Ill, and book critic Maureen Corrigan has an appreciation.
Write what you know, advises the old saw, and what Virginia Woolf knew, as well as she knew the ins and outs of English sentence structure, was what it was like to be sick. Mental breakdowns, severe headaches, depression, mysterious prolonged fevers, heart troubles, extreme weight loss, neurasthenia, and suicide attempts, the last one successful, mark Woolf's adult life. No wonder she gravitated to the subject when she was invited to write an essay for T.S. Eliot's magazine, The New Criterion. Eliot published the essay in January of 1926, but he didn't like it. Woolf's herky-jerky style wasn't his cup of tea, nor was her subject. Notoriously disassociated from anything below his own neck, and tormented by his sick first wife Vivian, Eliot would probably rather have read a cereal box than this, an essay by a woman on bodily dysfunction. On Being Ill hasn't exactly been lost since 1930, when it was published as a standalone book by Woolf's own Hogarth Press, but it's been hard to come by. In fact, a normally docile colleague of mine who teaches courses on the literature of pathology nearly ripped the essay out of my hands when she saw me reading it. This new, attractive edition by the Paris Press reproduces the original book jacket art by Woolf's sister, painter Vanessa Bell. It also features an introduction by acclaimed Woolf biographer Hermione Lee, who, among other insights, points out the subtextual toying with suicide that runs through On Being Ill. Lots of fine writers throughout the 20th century have written powerful first-person essays about being sick. Woolf distinguishes herself from that crowd of fellow misfortunates by, for better or worse, avoiding confessional revelations, and, of course, by her powers of illumination as a stylist. To loosely quote Eliot, Woolf takes us back to common thoughts, experiences, states of mind, only to know the place for the first time. The temptation with Woolf is that when she's at her quicksilver best, a critic like me just wants to surrender and quote her extraordinary sentences rather than talk about them. Woolf opens with one of those trademark page-long grandstanding sentences that demands to know why illness has not been among the chief themes of literature. She then ruminates on a subject that's received a lot of critical attention in recent years, namely, how few words for pain there are in the English language. The merest schoolgirl, when she falls in love, Woolf says, has Shakespeare or Keats to speak her mind for her. But let a sufferer try to describe a pain in his head to a doctor, and language at once runs dry. He is forced to coin words himself, and taking his pain in one hand and a lump of pure sound in the other, as perhaps the people of Babel did in the beginning, so to crush them together that a brand new word in the end drops out. Probably it will be something laughable. Woolf teasingly talks about the dearth of real sympathy the sick receive, given that listeners reflexively talk about their aches, their gastric troubles. She's also witty on the solitude of sickness, calling the ill deserters in the army of the upright. Then, in a flash, Woolf becomes gloomier on the subject of sick room isolation. That illusion of a world so shaped that it echoes every groan, where however strange your experience, other people have had it too, is all an illusion. We do not know our own souls, let alone the souls of others. Human beings do not go hand in hand the whole stretch of the way. On Being Ill veers off, as Woolf's writing sometimes does, into a bizarre final digression, this one about two minor female figures in English history that makes some of T.S. Eliot's frustration with this essay understandable. But before she disappears into the fog, Woolf talks vividly about the liberating effects of illness and about the stark knowledge of endings it bestows upon the recumbent. One of the most moving things about this singular essay is how Woolf's language goes to battle here. She gives the body its full due, acknowledging how hunger, toothaches, racing pulse beats, and nausea, among other ills, blunt the mind. But while paying homage to illness, her own greatest adversary, she also marshals her words to transcend it.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed On Being Ill by Virginia Woolf.